Psychiatric disorders are a ministry opportunity. You know, so many persons in our communities now have some sort of a psychiatric label. That's just the way that our culture works. If somebody misbehaves in some way, if some sort of difficulty is happening in their life, it's just likely that they're going to receive a label. It's interesting, even this morning, I was catching a bit of our local television news, and kind of a sad story where a young man from young high schooler at our local high school was told to go to the office. You know, kind of a normal thing. You get in trouble, you're told to go to the office. Remember those days? I mean, I had that path down pretty well. But what this young man decided to do was to attack the assistant principal of our local public high school. And I'm not sure if this was because of security cameras or if somebody just had it on a cell phone, but somebody videoed the entire episode of this young man attacking this poor assistant principal, tackling him down to the ground and all that sort of thing. And so now they're showing that on television this morning. And they also were allowing people to tweet in. And you know, that's the new thing, is what do you think? And as if because you have a Twitter account, you know anything about anything. And so now you're an expert, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, this woman tweeted in and she said something like, "What an unfortunate thing for this young man. He must be under a lot of pressure at home. And then she said, "Therapy?" question mark. So that's the analysis of this particular situation, the poor kid. And I mean, there's a thousand things I want to say to that. Like, what about the poor school administrator? You know, he's the one who got attacked. He's the one who, so what about, hey, let's pray for our public school teachers and administrators today. What a terrible thing for a young man to do in that particular situation. He ought to be held responsible for the wrong choice he just made. I hope there's going to be some appropriate consequences for what he just did. And I'm not saying, by the way, that he's not having a rough home life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I am saying this: you can't look at something going on in your body, or you can't look at something going on in your environment and excuse the wrong choices that you make. I'd be willing to bet dimes to donuts. And I realize pastors shouldn't bet dimes and shouldn't eat donuts, but I would be willing to bet dimes to donuts that if he does get into therapy, he'll have some sort of psychiatric label that will diminish the personal responsibility that he's going to be encouraged to take in this particular situation. And the only reason is, don't spend the rest of the hour thinking about that. Just the point of that was, it's amazing how many people in our communities already have some sort of psychiatric label. That's true here, that's true where you live. And the question before the house is, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? And I would encourage you to look at that whole dynamic culturally from the perspective of being a ministerial entrepreneur. Do you understand what I mean by that? Being the kind of person who's always on the lookout for what is the ministry opportunity, because this is the case. So it's not a matter of, well, let's fight about this, or let's criticize the boy, or let's rip on the psychologist, or blah, blah, blah. I'm asking the question because I think it's a central question for anybody who's involved in ministry to ask is, what are the ministry opportunities that exist because of this particular dynamic in our culture? Now, I threw out a couple of just opening salvos in your notes. The first one is this: should followers of Jesus Christ love the world? In other words, as you think about the fact that we live in a culture with all of these psychiatric diagnoses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, should we love the world or should we not love the world? Because I have this view. I believe that because there are all these psychiatric diagnoses out there, it's a tremendous ministry opportunity for the church. That's really my point here, is what are the ministry opportunities that exist, but you're not going to get there in your heart and mind, and your church is not going to get there in their corporate heart and mind until you have, I think, appropriate answers to these particular questions. So, there's the first one. Should followers of Jesus Christ love the world, yes or no? What do you think about that? Okay, you're not answering. Okay, so let's answer like big boys. How many of you would say, yes, the church ought to love the world? Okay, some of you say that. How many of you say, no, the church ought not to love the world? Okay, we got a church split going on. This is really going to be good. Okay, so let's start. Okay, now we got some people quoting the Bible, for crying out loud. She just quoted John 3:16. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. For those of you who would say that the church shouldn't love the world. What are you going to do with John 3:16? For God so loved the world, right? God loved the world. And for those who say, well, yeah, I think the church should love the world, what are you going to do with 1 John 2, which says, love not the world? So what are we going to do with that? On the one hand, you've got the Bible saying that God loves the world. On the other hand, you've got a clear command that we should not love the world. How are you going to explain that? Well, you could take the position that there's proof yet again that the Bible contradicts itself. There you go. Look, you're shaking your head at me already. I mean, so that's not you. You want more options? This is a touchy crowd. I can see we're getting late in the week. We're starting to turn on the dear sweet speakers. Okay, so I've been there. I feel like wrestling down an administrator right now. But anyway, because of the terrible environment in which I find myself, therapy. Okay, so you're not going to go with that. I'm totally confused now what I'm talking about. We're not going to go with the notion that the Bible contradicts itself. Okay, here's another answer. God has a double standard where he expects one thing from you and he does the opposite. Well, yeah, I mean, he says you can't love the world, but he says he does. That's not a double standard? You don't like that explanation? So you don't like that the Bible contradicts itself answer. You don't like the Bible has a double standard or that God has a double standard answer. What's left? Yeah, maybe the word world is used different ways in different contexts. Is that better? Can you settle down now? Do you need to take a pill? I mean, okay. So maybe the word world means different things in different places. So maybe sometimes the word world means the physical universe. Maybe sometimes the word world means world of people. Maybe sometimes the word world means world's philosophies or mentalities or ways of thinking about life. Is that possibly the explanation to all of this? Yes. And so maybe what Scripture is telling us is while we cannot love, we cannot embrace the philosophies, the mentalities of the world, we certainly are called upon to love the world of people. You buying all that? Okay, so we're going to go there. But I would say, don't be yes to me so quickly. And here's why. I'm not so sure that many of us and many of our churches are particularly good at loving the world of people. Right? Just think about that for a moment. And if we live in a culture that is highly psychologized with all sorts of psychiatric labels, I think for some of us, that's a reason to judge. It's a reason to hate. It's a reason to separate. It's a reason to condemn instead of a reason to love. Is that hypothetically possible? And don't answer for yourself, but for this person sitting next to you, is that hypothetically possible for them? Yeah, no question about that. So we've decided, yes, followers of Christ should love the world of people. Okay, fine. Now, let me ask you this. Is the United States a battlefield, or is the United States a mission field? Yeah, that's okay. Just relax. You should have read James Davison Hunter's book, Culture Wars. That's a very important book if you're going to be involved in community ministry, if you're going to be involved in cultural work. Hunter is a sociologist down at the University of Virginia, and it's a very fair-handed treatment to help us understand all the wars that exist in our culture. And it's amazing, even right here in Lafayette, the various issues that are really hot-button issues right now, they do affect those very issues described in culture war. So I would encourage you, if you've not read that book, I would really encourage you to read that book. But then I would encourage you to read Michael Horton's book, which is entitled Beyond Culture Wars. And the question that he poses in the subtitle of that book is the United States a battlefield or is the United States a mission field? And I understand that you could decide that, well, it's both, and I think there are senses in which it's both. But the fact of the matter is, I think that primarily the United States is a mission field in the sense that we ought to be looking for opportunities to win other people to Christ. And some of churches, some of God's people are so interested in the next battle that they don't look for opportunities for ministry. And I'm just suggesting that even the fact that we live in a world that is highly psychologized, it provides some marvelous opportunities for ministry if we will have a heart that actually looks for them. And then there's the question of how should churches and individual believers process the